Welcome to today's deep dive. Today is March 5th, 2026, and the digital world you navigate every single day is undergoing this massive physical reconfiguration.
Yeah, the ground rules of technology are fundamentally shifting under our feet.
Exactly. And for this deep dive, we are pulling our insights from just one single, highly detailed source, which is the latest Tech Ignite Global Intel Briefing.
It's a dense read, but incredibly important.
Very dense. So our mission today is to guide you through six critical domains of tech news that are dominating the landscape right now.
Right. All sourced directly from this briefing.
We're covering the whole spectrum here, from, you know, spyware founders finally going to prison for centuries to the absolute collapse of the uncanny valley in sci-fi video generation.
There is a lot to get through.
There is. But by the end of this, you will be fully caught up on the realities of 2026. Okay, let's unpack this.
The overarching theme you need to watch for as we synthesize this briefing is a collision of worlds. The virtual realm of software is suddenly violently crashing into the physical realities of energy, hardware constraints, and international law.
It's a real wake-up call.
It is. But before we get into the specifics, I do need to set a firm boundary regarding the source material.
Always a good idea with these briefings.
Yeah. The Take a Night briefing covers highly sensitive, politically charged developments. This includes the internal operations of the U.S. Department of Defense, authoritarian regimes, and U.S.-China relations.
Right.
So we want to be completely clear with you. We are not taking any sides or endorsing any political viewpoints, military actions, or government strategies. We are strictly here to impartially report on the ideas contained in the original Take a Night briefing.
I really appreciate that framing. So let's look at the legal precedent that just dropped in Europe, because it perfectly illustrates that collision between software and law.
The Predator sentencing.
Yes. The founders of the Predator spyware were just sentenced to a combined 126 years in a high-security European tribunal.
Which is staggering.
It's totally wild. We are looking at over a century behind bars just for writing code. The briefing details how Predator operated as this, what they call an invisible reaper.
Right, for over a decade.
Using these zero-click exploits, it's like a burglar who doesn't even need you to open the door.
Or even leave a window unlocked.
Exactly. They just walk right through the walls via an invisible packet on a messaging app.
And the scale of the victims is what really stands out.
Activists, cabinet ministers, high court judges across 45 countries. And they never even had to click a link.
Because of the Ghost Protocol?
Yeah, the Ghost Protocol completely bypassed 2026 security patches by hitting the 5G modem's hardware abstraction layer directly.
What's fascinating here is the permanent shift in liability. We have definitively exited the era of surveillance as a service.
Thank goodness.
Seriously. But this is the first time private developers are facing criminal liability on this scale for code sold to state actors. It means individuals are criminally liable for the code they write.
And the briefing mentioned they seized the parent company's assets, right?
They did. But the critical detail is what happened to their proprietary exploit library. The entire vault of these zero-click weapons was handed over to the UN Digital Rights Committee.
Wow.
The UN is now taking over that library to coordinate with hardware vendors and issue public patches globally.
But wait, handing over the most dangerous exploit library on the planet to a single UN committee seems, that seems incredibly reckless, doesn't it?
It definitely raises red flags.
You are creating a centralized repository of weaponized zero days. If that vault is breached before the patches are deployed, the fallout would be catastrophic. Does the briefing address the security protocol for that transfer?
It does highlight the inherent risk. It notes that the committee is operating under a highly classified, decentralized cryptographic framework to analyze the code.
Okay, so they aren't just putting it on a standard server.
No, definitely not. But the alternative, letting the code vanish into the dark web during the company's dissolution, was deemed a much greater threat. The mandate is strictly about public patching.
That makes sense, but it's quite a contrast. While private citizens are being locked up for weaponizing code, the public sector is simultaneously handing over the keys to autonomous systems.
You're talking about the Pentagon news.
Yeah, headline two. The U.S. Department of Defense just formally integrated Anthropic's Claude 4.6 as the primary reasoning engine for the Pentagon.
Under Project Guardian.
Right. And the hardware architecture they've dedicated to this is just staggering. The briefing outlines a fully air-gapped cluster of liquid-cooled 2-nanometer supercomputers.
The compute power there is astronomical.
It is. And the tasks aren't just logistical anymore. Claude 4.6 is doing high-level reasoning. It is simulating millions of geopolitical outcomes per hour.
It's auditing the defense budget. Identifying abstract supply chain vulnerabilities?
It's a total paradigm shift.
Absolutely. Historically, defense AI implementations were narrow. They focused on computer vision for satellite imagery or filtering signals intelligence.
Right, very specific task.
But deploying a model for strategic reasoning means the system is evaluating the efficiency of human contractors and suggesting resource reallocation across the entire military-industrial complex.
Which is terrifying to some people.
Well, Anthropic secured this contract heavily leaning on their constitutional AI framework. They claim it lowers the risk of agentic drift, the tendency for an AI to act unpredictably over long horizons.
They insist it's just a human-in-the-loop advisor.
Yes.
I have to challenge that human-in-the-loop narrative, though.
How so?
If a 2-nanometer supercomputer cluster is simulating millions of kinetic outcomes per hour and feeding optimal strike vectors to a commander in a live-fire scenario, the human isn't really in the loop.
They're just rubber stamping it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can't critically evaluate a geopolitical simulation that complex in the milliseconds required for modern digital warfare.
This raises an important question, and it's the exact friction point the briefing identifies. The dangerously thin line between advising a commander and effectively commanding them through superior data analysis.
That's vanishing.
It is. Critics are terrified of the black box nature of these models. If an oversight occurs, the accountability structure is completely opaque.
Because you can't court-martial an algorithm.
Precisely. And the immediate consequence is this massive cognitive arms race. The EU and China are aggressively accelerating their own defense LLMs. The deterrent isn't nuclear payload anymore.
It's reasoning speed.
Exactly.
Well, here's where it gets really interesting, because reasoning speed is entirely dependent on physical infrastructure. Which brings us to headline 3.
The 2-nanometer era?
Yes. We are officially in the 2-nanometer era, and the cost of AI is flipping the financial world upside down. It's tearing Silicon Valley apart.
The capital expenditure is just unprecedented.
It's ruinous for anyone outside the legacy tech monopolies. These 2-nanometer chips deliver 400% efficiency gains, but they require astronomically expensive extreme ultraviolet, or EUV, fabs.
The briefing summarizes this perfectly. It says, follow the watts and the wafers, not just the code.
I love that quote. We're seeing trillions of dollars shift from growth software straight into physical infrastructure.
It's a brutal rotation, but we are moving from infinite software scaling to finite physical constraints.
Right.
Building a 32 trillion parameter model requires a literal industrial supply chain now. Because of that, the cost of a single intelligence token has actually risen.
And that physical bottleneck has spawned this bizarre secondary economy.
Yeah.
Because of this sweeping compute debt, smaller AI startups are being frozen out.
They can't afford the cloud access.
No. So the briefing details this rapidly growing compute barter market.
Yeah.
You have emerging startups literally trading equity in their companies in exchange for raw GPU hours.
On decentralized networks.
Yeah. They're giving away ownership just for the processing time required to train their models.
It really highlights how software ambitions have vastly outpaced our physical manufacturing capabilities.
But despite that compute debt, the models that do get trained are crossing some terrifying thresholds.
The generative video developments.
Yes, headline 4. I am so excited by this. Generative AI video has entirely cleared the uncanny valley. AI video isn't just making glitchy clips anymore.
The briefing says they are generating coherent realities.
Coherent realities.
Uh-huh.
OpenAI released Sora 2.5, featuring this temporal physics core. The demo they released, the Alchemist's Workshop, simulates thousands of glass bottles shattering.
With fluids of entirely different viscosities interacting perfectly.
There is zero flickering, zero loss of object geometry. And simultaneously, Runway dropped Gen 4 with these directorial SDKs.
Which you can control by natural language.
Or even use spatial tracking from a Vision Pro 2 to physically direct the virtual camera by moving your head.
The visual fidelity is stunning. But the briefing scrutinizes what that temporal physics core is actually doing.
Whether it really understands physics.
Right. Does it understand the fundamental laws of gravity and mass? Or has it simply ingested enough high-resolution data to perfectly interpolate those interactions?
Does it matter if the output is indistinguishable from reality? A single independent creator can now sit in their bedroom and produce a feature-length film with practical effects that rival a $200 million Marvel production.
It matters deeply when you consider the labor mechanics. We are looking at a profound disruption to the $200 billion Hollywood industry.
Which triggered the strike.
Yes. The Digital Actors Guild is on strike over generative persona technology. When anyone can generate a blockbuster, the value of the professional technical artist plummets.
And that automation isn't just restricted to Hollywood. It seamlessly links to Headline 5 because it has altered our daily operating systems.
The death of the chatbot.
Chatbots are dead. Welcome to large language agents, or LLAs. The briefing puts it bluntly, and I want you to hear this. You are no longer an operator. You are a commander.
Microsoft, Google, and Apple have all consolidated behind this new agentic OS framework.
So what's the distinction here between a model and an agent?
Autonomy. A model retrieves information and generates text. An agent executes multi-step workflows, utilizes native software tools, and makes independent decisions within a mission profile.
The mission profile example in the briefing was mind-blowing. You tell your LLA, I need to be in Tokyo next week for under $3,000, book a hotel near the station, and reschedule my conflicting meetings.
And then you just walk away.
Right. While you sleep, your agent interfaces with airline APIs, authorizes payments, gets your hotel, and directly contacts the digital agents of your colleagues to negotiate new meeting times.
It's unparalleled utility, but it introduces a severe cybersecurity vector.
Agent-to-agent social engineering.
Exactly. You have millions of autonomous agents communicating in the background. How do we stop a malicious agent from executing a social engineering attack against your bank's agent?
Or your company's procurement agent. If the 5G hardware was compromised by Predator, the attack surface of an entire agentic OS must be a nightmare.
The industry is scrambling to deploy A2A cryptographic authentication protocols. Your agent must present mathematically verifiable proof of your original human intent.
Using zero-knowledge proofs.
Yes, to confirm the agent hasn't experienced drift. But the computational overhead for constantly verifying cryptographic intent across billions of interactions is staggering.
Which brings us right back to the physical constraints, our final massive piece of the puzzle, Headline 6.
The energy draw.
If we have autonomous agents running 2047, defense LLMs, and Sora generating physical realities, the energy required is unsustainable. AI currently consumes 4% of global electricity.
And we're losing massive amounts of power to transmission heat loss.
But a breakthrough just happened in Iceland, the holy grail of 2026.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, everything we've discussed today hinges on this specific development. Google's Sycamore 3 simulated room temperature superconductors.
RTSC.
Right. And that simulation has successfully leaped into physical manufacturing.
Physical prototype cables are now deployed in a pilot data center in Iceland.
It eliminates electrical transmission loss entirely.
Zero resistance. It drastically reduces cooling needs. And the briefing projects that compute costs could plummet by 90% in just 3 years.
The caveat is the geopolitical race. The U.S. and China are aggressively maneuvering in Africa and South America to lock down the rare earth elements needed for RTSC.
Because intelligence is a function of energy.
And energy is becoming limitless.
So what does this all mean? Let's trace the journey we've taken through this briefing. We are watching the virtual world force its way into physical reality.
At an unprecedented velocity.
We saw spyware architects facing 126 years in prison. We explored Claude 4.6 acting as a reasoning engine for the Pentagon. We examined the compute debt forcing startups to barter for GPU time.
The physical infrastructure bottleneck.
Exactly. We looked at generative persona tech disrupting Hollywood, the shift to agentic operating systems, and finally the miracle of room temperature superconductors in Iceland.
The velocity really is unprecedented. And I want to leave you with one final compounding dynamic to mull over. If RTSC technology drops compute costs by 90% and allows 100 trillion parameter models to run natively on local microgrids, it effectively decentralizes intelligence away from the tech giants.
Wow.
So consider this. What happens to the balance of global power when your local neighborhood has the exact same autonomous agentic capabilities and high-level reasoning power as the Pentagon?
That is wild.
Will the cognitive arms race shift from a battle between nation states to a friction playing out in our own backyards?
That is a staggering variable to consider as the infrastructure of 2026 takes shape. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive into the Take at Night Global Intel Briefing. Keep paying attention to the supply chains. Watch how the physical constraints dictate the software. And above all, keep questioning the shifting digital landscape around you. We'll be right here to help you unpack it next time.